unlocking the latest SMA insights, courtesy of Biogen.
Today is Friday, October 19th, 2018. I'm Mike Nace, executive editor of SMA News Today.
A study found that patients with SMA are more susceptible to becoming tired during physical activity, which, in addition to muscle weakness, may contribute significantly to their decreased motor function. The study was called A Continuous Repetitive Task to Detect Fatigability in Spinal Muscular Atrophy, and it was published in the Orphanet Journal of Rare Diseases. It found that simple, repetitive manual exercise, such as the repeated nine-hole peg test, can help detect and quantify this kind of muscular fatigue in SMA patients, particularly in those with SMA type 2. SMA patients experience muscle wasting and weakness, and many also report a lack of stamina and a tendency to get tired, or fatigability. These can further limit daily activities and a social life. Walking tests and muscle contraction exercises suggest that muscle fatigue also plays an important part in patients' motor incapacity. The authors of the study said that there is a need for additional tools to determine the presence, extent, and causes of fatigability because motor scales used in SMA research do not specifically address muscle fatigability. At the Brain Center Rudolf Magnus Institute of Neuroscience in the University Medical Center Utrecht in the Netherlands, a team of researchers conducted a study. They evaluated if repeating a simple exercise called the nine-hole peg test would help quantify and determine the impact of fatigability on impaired motor function of SMA patients. The study included 52 patients with SMA older than 5, of whom 23 had SMA type 2, 27 had type 3, and 2 had type 4, who were recruited from the Dutch SMA Register. All of them had a deletion or a combination of a deletion and a mutation in the SMN1 gene. Two control groups were included. First, a disease control group of 29 patients with other neuromuscular diseases. This included mostly Duchenne muscular dystrophy, hereditary motor sensory neuropathy, and limb-girdle muscular dystrophy. And the second was a group of 17 healthy individuals. All participants were asked to perform 5 rounds of the 9-hole peg test. This test is commonly used by occupational therapists as a simple and quick assessment for finger dexterity. It's also used to assess upper extremity function in people with neurological problems, such as multiple sclerosis. The 9-hole peg test consists of taking out 9 lightweight plastic pegs one by one from a container and placing them in 9 holes on a board as fast as possible. Then you remove them one at a time, putting them back in the container. Participants performed a repetitive version of the test, in which they did 5 consecutive rounds without a break, using the same preferred hand. The time needed to complete each round was recorded. It was used to assess performance and how quickly participants would tire. The analysis revealed that the time required by patients with SMA type 2 increased with each round, thereby indicating a reduced ability to maintain a simple activity that mimics hand function in daily life. Patients with SMA type 2 performed the test significantly slower than all other groups, and disease controls were slower than healthy controls. In contrast, no significant slowing down of performance was observed between patients with SMA type 3 or 4 and the disease controls or healthy controls. The time needed to complete each round increased in the following: 15 patients with SMA type 2 at 65%, 8 patients with type 3 at 30%, 9 of the disease controls at 31%, and 1 healthy control at 6%. The researchers therefore implied that fatigability in SMA type 2 is, at least partially, a separate dimension next to muscle weakness in SMA. However, there was no effect on fatigability when it comes to surrogate markers for disease severity in SMA type 2 patients, such as age at disease onset and disease duration. These findings indicate that fatigability may represent an important dimension of reduced motor function in addition to weakness, and that a simple, reproducible test can be used to address this dimension, even in SMA patients with minimal arm function. Researchers propose that future studies may include heart rate monitoring, muscle electrical activity recording, and questionnaires. This would help assess pain and motivation while the test is performed, creating a more robust measure of muscle fatigability. Other types of repetitive exercises may also be tailored for specific patient groups, namely in those with SMA types 3 and 4, because their performance in the test was as good as healthy controls, despite them often having muscle weakness and complaining of fatigability in their daily life. The team concluded that developing tailored measures to quantify fatigability through clinical trials could be an important step towards the development of medication to treat fatigability in SMA, ultimately improving quality of life.
Up next, perspectives from SMA News Today forum editor Michael Morale.
This is your daily flash briefing, brought to you by Biogen. Learn more about a treatment option for SMA, locate a treatment center, or attend an event near you at unlocksma.com.
Welcome to my weekly flash briefing for SMA News Today. I'm your host, Michael Morale, Forums Director for BioNews Services. In this week's flash briefing, I would like to stress the importance of proper nutrition when managing spinal muscular atrophy. Parents of children with spinal muscular atrophy, as well as doctors, often don't give enough importance to the role good nutrition plays in improving patients' quality of life, said a leading Polish SMA expert. Eva Toporowska, a pediatric gastroenterologist at the Medical University of Lutz, spoke on diet and SMA at last month's 6th Polish SMA conference in Warsaw. The event was hosted by the Polish nonprofit group Fungica SMA. Nutrition in SMA remains an open question, so we really need to explore this area because there are no strict guidelines, Toporowska told SMA News Today in a subsequent phone interview from Lutz. The main problem, she said, is dysphagia, or difficulty swallowing. This is the first barrier in children with SMA because they are not able to properly take food. She said, new guidelines suggest we should perform video fluoroscopy, a procedure that enables us to see how the child swallows. This should be performed in all children with SMA who are non-sitters. If the child is unable to swallow safely, we should activate tube feeding to prevent malnutrition. Gastroesophageal reflux disease, or GERD, might also be present in SMA children, particularly in type 1 cases, she said. But we shouldn't overestimate this problem because not every child with SMA will have reflux. GERD causes acid reflux and may be associated with silent aspiration, food or drink that enters the respiratory tract without any warning signs, such as coughing or choking, that can lead to pneumonia and respiratory distress. In addition, scoliosis may contribute to increased abdominal pressure, leading to GERD, and constipation can worsen GERD as well. One way to manage reflux is to eat small portions throughout the day, rather than large meals. Whatever we know about diet from literature is usually based on experience, because we don't have many studies, she said. There is a very subtle balance between undernutrition and overnutrition. Once you increase the energy in the diet, it's very easy to cross the line because these kids don't have muscle. If you give them too much energy, they will have too much fat, and a high-energy diet may cause problems with aspiration. Calcium vitamins are critical. Also critically important is bone health, she said, because 80 to 90% of kids with SMA are deficient in calcium or vitamins D, E, or K, a situation that can boost the risk of fractures. Because these children don't have enough muscle mass, they are very prone to metabolic disorders like hypoglycemia, which is low blood sugar levels. She said, children with SMA type 1 should not go more than 6 hours without food, and type 2 children shouldn't go longer than 8 hours. Likewise, because children with SMA are much less physically active, they generally need 20 to 50% fewer calories than healthy kids, Toporowska said. There are also different caloric requirements between kids on respiratory support and those who breathe by themselves. She said, respiration without support is very hard work for these children, so they're consuming more energy. In addition, children who receive Spinraza, otherwise known as nusinersen, even those with type 1, develop more normally. Toporowska said, future nutritional guidelines might very well take into account not only the type of SMA a child has, but also what type of therapy he or she is receiving. There will be a difference between children who grow with the natural history of the disease and those on nusinersen. She said, kids who are treated with nusinersen are in a completely different category. I know children who suffer from type 1 and have been on tube feeding for years, and those with the same disease on nusinersen who are able to consume a normal diet. Kasper Ruzinski, president of Fungica SMA, an organizer of the Warsaw Conference, said Toporowska's presentation highlighted an often neglected aspect of caring for children with the disease. In SMA, many doctors focus on ventilation, breathing, and muscle functions, especially physiotherapy. That's a big focus in Poland. But nutrition is somehow off the radar, said Brzezinski, who has a 9-year-old daughter with SMA type 2. It's well known that those with SMA are frequently either underweight and malnourished or overweight. This shows how difficult it is to maintain appropriate diet for the condition. He added, people with SMA should always be under the care of a good, qualified nutritionist. Unfortunately, it's not often we find such a nutritionist who is knowledgeable about SMA. For me, this was a real eye-opener. I hope you enjoyed this week's Flash Briefing. We at SMA News Today hope everyone is having a fantastic day. I'm your host, Michael Morale, Forums Director for BioNews Services. Until next time, take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Be sure to visit SMA News Today for the latest daily digital coverage of spinal muscular atrophy. For SMA News Today, I'm Mike Nace, Executive Editor.
This is your daily Flash Briefing, brought to you by Biogen. Learn more about a treatment option for SMA, locate a treatment center, or attend an event near you at unlocksma.com.